Hey everyone, welcome to the Pot Awareness Podcast, and thanks for joining me. This podcast is specifically for about educating and raising awareness for animals and rescues and organizations across the United States and world. It really goes a long way towards this mission when our listeners rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and all of our other podcast platforms. Also, be sure to check us out on our official website at pawawareness.org and on social media at TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at pawawareness_podcast. You can check us out for all of our latest bits and clips of our podcast, as well as Pet of the Week and Pet of the Month. If you're listening and involved with an animal rescue organization or have a story of your own that you want to share, reach out to us at info@pawawareness.org and we can get you on the podcast. Thanks for watching, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Paw Awareness Podcast. Today, I'm lucky enough to be sitting down with Amber Rose Beck, the Special Projects Coordinator, and Ellie Lofts, the Adoption Head of SMART, which is Successfully Manage Animal Rights Today. And I'm just going to go ahead and pass it over to either one of you two, and go ahead and introduce yourselves and a little bit more about what you do.
So I'm Ellie. I've worked here for just about 2.5 years now here in Athens. My main job is the adoptions. So we take cats off the streets, get them rescued, and then find them homes all over the world. So not just here in Greece. It's a wonderful place to work here. You're surrounded by cats constantly and it's amazing.
Literally surrounded by cats right now. They're all jumping all over us. So apologies when they try to get in the camera. But I am Amber. We currently have 50 cats in the shelter, so it's a surprise that they're not all around us right now. I'm Amber. I've lived in Greece now for almost 2 years. And yeah, so my official title would be a special projects coordinator, but that's obviously very vague. We have the shelter here in Greece, so I help with managing the shelter. I help with looking after the cats, the volunteers. I run the social media pages to obviously try and get more adoptions and donations and stuff like that. So it's a busy job trying to do everything, isn't it? There's a lot.
There's always a lot to do. In between caring for 50 cats and then everything else, there's a lot to do, isn't there?
So I've only spoken with a couple of organizations outside of the US, and I'm curious to know, what is the state of, like, what are some common issues that Greece is facing, or maybe even more specifically your area, in regards to cats? Like, why only focus on cats? I guess I'm curious.
There's an insane amount of stray cats here, so our main focus is cats, because most places you go, any town here in Greece, and especially in our local towns, there are colonies of stray cats that live on almost every corner. Every place you see where there's bins, there's going to be cats. That's why. So the main issue and why there's so many stray cats is a lot of people don't believe in sterilization here. There's a lot of kind people that will feed the cats and try their best, but in terms of sterilizing them, they don't tend to either have enough money or things like that to sterilize them. So the population just keeps growing and growing and growing. So that's probably our main problem, is just the strays and trying to help them.
Yeah, I think here as well, especially in our local area, there's so many dog shelters, yeah, and a lot of more people are very on board. If they see a sick dog, everyone's like, oh my goodness, there's a sick dog, we need to help it. Whereas when people see like stray cats on the streets, they're just like dirty, they're vermin, nobody cares. So they definitely, cats have it a lot worse than the dogs in our area. Yeah.
And you mentioned too about sending the cats, not like finding homes outside of Greece. Did you say that?
Yes. Yeah.
And what exactly, I guess, what are some of the obstacles? I can't imagine it's just you put a cat on a boat or a plane and that's it, right? So what are some of the obstacles there, and how does that all kind of work?
So we don't get many adoptions here in Greece, I think mainly because of the number of stray cats. So if you're a Greek person and you want to adopt a cat, you could just open your door and about 5 cats would want to come running in. So the idea of going to a shelter and adopting from a shelter just doesn't really exist. The only adoptions we get here in Greece are actually from expats. So foreigners living here in Greece, and then they have already have that, okay, I'm going to go to a shelter and adopt. So we end up finding a lot of homes for our cats abroad. So we send a lot of them to England, to America, to a lot of Europe, and especially places where there aren't so many stray cats. So especially somewhere like the Netherlands, for example, the amount of strays in the Netherlands is so low that if someone wants to adopt a cat, it's actually quite hard for them. So they end up looking at us, looking at other rescue organizations out of the country. And it sounds like a bit ridiculous, but it's actually quite easy to send them. So they just need a pet passport. We find someone to fly with them, or the owner will come and fly. So they can come have a little holiday here in Greece and then fly back with the cat as well. So relatively easy to get them to other countries. But yeah, everyone ends up finding us when there's not many stray cats in their country.
And is SMART just tackling basically... You find cats. How does that whole process work from getting the cat into your doors and then out of your doors?
There's a lot that goes into it.
It's a process. It's a big process.
Yeah. Obviously, with so many cats, we have to be so careful about like diseases and everything like that. So when we find a cat, usually a lot of the cats we take are going to have injuries, or there's a reason why they can't live on the street. So first we have to get them healthy, treat whatever injury they have. Then we have to do the blood tests for like FIV, FELV, do fecal tests, get them vaccinated, microchipped, sterilized. So there is a long process into getting them into the shelter. We always have to make sure that they have flea medicine, they have worming medicine, they've got to have everything that means they can live in a house full of 50 cats and not spread any disease. It's a big process to get them from the streets. A lot of money goes into it, a lot of care, attention.
Yeah, I mean, because there is so many on the streets, we really have to focus on taking the sickest ones that aren't going to survive without us. There's so many, obviously, we do a lot of TNR work, so we sterilise them and then we have to put them back out because there's no way we could take all of them. There's hundreds. So the ones that we do choose to rescue are always going to be the sickest that are probably going to die if we don't intervene. So obviously that means that the process to get them into the shelter is a lot longer because we are taking the sick ones, and the vet bills and the costs are a lot higher because they always need fluids or CT scans, MRI scans, they need surgeries and stuff. So yeah, it's always the expensive cases, isn't it?
Yeah, that's interesting. Like having to get a cat in and basically make sure it's been, you know, appropriately handled so it's not, you know, spreading diseases and whatnot. And does that mean that SMART is for the most part at full capacity then, given the situation that you guys are facing? Or
yes, we're almost always at full capacity. I don't think there's been a time in the last however long that we've not been at full capacity, because as soon as cats get adopted and leave, we have cats that are waiting to come in. So yeah, we've always got a very full house.
Yeah, and we have the layout of the shelter is like a big villa, and a lot of the cats, they do live freely. So obviously they have like the living room where we are now with the big scratching posts. We have big open verandas, like huge balconies that are all netted. So most of the cats do live freely, but then we also use our bedrooms as isolation as well. So if we do take in a sick cat that does need to be isolated away, then we use that for the bedrooms as well. So they don't come straight into the population, because that can be quite intimidating for a lot of cats. So the setup of the house really sort of helps us with the health and with like the behavior and the happiness of the cats as well.
Okay. That's interesting about the layout. And I wanted to ask you mentioned it's kind of like this house setup. How many people are work at that facility? And then I thought I saw on the website too, that you guys now have operations in Lebanon as well. Is that correct? Or
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
I think Julie did help a couple of cats from Lebanon, but we haven't been helping anyone in Lebanon for a while.
Not for a couple of years now. But yeah, at the shelter, so I live here permanently. And then other than that, we can have around 10 people at the shelter. That would be like our maximum capacity. So obviously me and Ellie manage it. Ellie drives here every day to come to work. And then I live here. So if there's ever like an emergency in the night or something, then I'm here to deal with that. But other than that, we have volunteers. So we have a global volunteer program where people can come from all over the world and they stay at our shelter. So they also live here. Like I said, we have the bedrooms that are used as isolation. And then we also have a vet intern program. So people that are either studying to be a vet or a vet nurse, or they're qualified. They also, we do like an internship program here in Greece where they can come and obviously help us look after the cats, but learn a little bit more about like veterinary medicine over here in comparison to places like America and England and stuff. It's obviously really different. So yeah, usually we have around 10 people here at a time. So the cats are very well entertained and cuddled.
I think that's important too. Maybe some of these cats aren't as socialized. This is a big question, but I know you guys are facing so many issues, so many bottlenecks, but if there's one, and you both can answer this, it could be different, but if there was one issue you could try and tackle to try and eliminate this problem, like eliminate the cats on the streets in your particular area, what would you attribute that to? What would you say, like, how would you try and tackle that with unlimited amount of resources and money and all that fun stuff?
That's a very big question.
Yeah. For me, I think it would be the mindset of people, like where we are, even though I've got cat hair all on my face, I'm sorry. Even though we're near Athens, we're in quite like a remote area. So here, there's no tourists. It's very Greek, basically. And I think for me, it's just the mindset of those people. Like I said before, cats are just treated as vermin. Nobody wants to sterilize them. And even if people can't take them in and rescue them, if everybody just sterilized a couple of cats, you would help the problem massively. Obviously, there wouldn't be kittens all the time. There would be less road accidents. There would be less problems with the female cats. So I think just the whole mindset around animals and how they should be cared for on the streets would make a big difference for me. Yeah,
I think I agree. It's mainly the mindset, also money issues, because not including us, there's a lot of kind-hearted people that do try and help, but there's a few of them, and the few of them that do help seem to be inundated with the cats, and then they can't afford to keep sterilizing and keep rescuing. So just more support for those people as well, because you know we are in a fortunate position a lot of the time where we can do it, but the people that kind of try and do it on their own, they really, really struggle, because people will know them and just give them cats or dump them in their gardens, and then they don't have the money to do a lot with them other than the basics.
Yeah, I think like the economy here in Greece has definitely had a big impact on it as well, because like as Ellie said, there are people that want to help, but people physically just aren't in that position to financially contribute to helping.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I feel like you have to kind of help yourself before you can really effectively, you know, go out there and do that. And that's really interesting. I think the same thing is happening over here in the States, where just education, the more organizations I talk to, the more like I realize how important education is to the communities and whatnot and the people in the community. And it's just an ongoing battle. What does that mean? That, well, this is kind of a two-part question, but with so many cats and kind of just around your area, that means that you probably just stick around your local community to pick up cats then, right? And then furthermore, I wanted to ask, like, do you have like partnerships in the community, or like how does that look like, and how big is the town that you're in exactly, like population-wise?
Population-wise, it's very small.
It's not a big area. It's not very populated. I mean, where our shelter is, we're not even really in a town. We're just in the countryside. So when we speak of towns, they're like a 5-10 minute drive away. We're not like in a neighborhood or community. We're just in the olive trees.
Very Greek.
It's very Greek.
But yeah, I'd say we have rescued a lot of cats from the local town, and. Yeah. helping a lot of cats there. And we also feed the stray cats there. So that's when we notice the stray cats there. And there is a few people that like independently feed the cats and help the cats in that town that we are now partnered with, or we just help each other out. So they'll message us if they find a cat and things like that. Where I live about 20 minutes from here. So ever since I've moved there, we've kind of started a new partnership in that area as well, because just in my garden, there's about 20 cats. It's ridiculous. And then I walk down the road and there's another 20 cats, you know. So I think it's, yeah, locally is where we get the most cats.
We do have a lot, well, not a lot, but we've had some from islands as well, haven't we? We've had like a cat from Santorini, from Corfu, from Kos. So if people know about our organisation, like if they're on holiday, for example, in Corfu, a lot of people holiday there, but there isn't really many animal rescue organisations there. So if people know about us, then they're always messaging like, oh, do you think if we can get them back to Athens, you guys could take them? So if we're in a position to help, I mean, they could come from all over Greece, as long as they can get to us and we can help them.
Yeah, we've taken a lot from like the centre of Athens as well. And also there's a couple of other organisations that work in Athens. So if they don't have enough room or if they can't help, they'll then message us and say, can you help us out with this? Or could you foster a cat if we get it adopted and things like that? So we do have a couple of partnerships from in Athens as well, because there is
so many cats.
There's a lot of cats in Athens, but they're very well looked after in Athens because of the groups that solely work in Athens. Like there's one group that feeds all of the cats at the Acropolis, and the Acropolis is like a huge tourist destination. It's always busy. And the cats there are so well looked after. So many volunteers.
They're so fat.
And they say, oh my God, I went to the Acropolis. The cats there are so fat. So that's good.
That's interesting. Yeah, I've never been over there, but I didn't know any of this. And I think that this podcast too, as much as it's about like helping the animals and raising awareness for that, it's also just connecting with the people that are like both of you that do this. And I have a question is, do you have any advice for someone I think it's one thing doing this, you know, part-time, but like to actually, you know, kind of go full-time or spend, you know, more than a few hours a week doing something like this. Do you have any advice for an individual maybe thinking about doing that before picking it as a career or something like that?
Yeah, it's very intense. You have to throw yourself in. It really has to
be in your heart.
You have to like have so much love for cats and for all animals, because it takes up a lot of your life. Like I know both of our lives are pretty much 24/7 cats. Even when we're not working as cats, everything we do is for cats, you know,
24 hours a day,
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, so it's the sort of thing where you really have to be so passionate about it and able and willing and happy to just give everything you have to these cats and love them and be patient as well. I think because we get a lot of cats that are very shy and you have to have a lot of patience to like socialize them. And so just that kind of that passion, I would say, is the most important thing, I think.
I think your own personal mindset as well, to try and not dwell on the negatives, because it's so easy for us to go out and you find one sick cat and then you're obviously like heartbroken, but you just have to think of like the 50 healthy cats, for example, that you've seen, because if you're always getting really heartbroken by, there is a lot of heartbreak, there is a lot of suffering and stuff. But if you let that dwell on your mind too much, then obviously like compassion fatigue and burnout and stuff like that in the whole animal industry is a real problem. So working personally on your own mindset and your own positive mental well-being to then put that into the animals, you have to be in a good place yourself to be able to bring these animals to a good place. So yeah, I think have it in your heart, but as well work on your mind.
And do you think that, like, is there anything that you are excited about that you're currently working on or that the organization's currently working on, we're relatively new into 2022 that you're working on this year?
I'd say we have two main things to be excited about. The first one, we spoke previously about education. We have an animated educational video series that Julie, the founder of the organization, has been working on for a couple of years now. And it's really designed at children to sort of teach them about compassion towards animals, how to look after them. And in Greece, that's just been approved by the Ministry of Education. So that's a really big achievement. So now the video series will start being played actually within primary schools to start teaching the children about animals and how to look after the strays. So that was a huge accomplishment for us. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's absolutely. I think that's literally like going as far up the ladder, so to speak, I guess, as you possibly can, is like educate kids. I mean, I think that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is. It all starts with kids, so
it does. Yeah,
aim it at the kids.
And then the second thing is in May, we have a big international collaboration with Sterling Davies, also known as the Trap King. So he is a former American rapper. I don't know if you've heard of the Trap King, but
yeah, I had him on. Yeah. He's like one of my first podcast guests. Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing. Love him. Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Sterling. he's coming to Greece with some of his team in May. So we'll be doing a collaboration for 10 days where we're going to be full force education and TNR. So we'll be sterilizing over the course of 10 days, probably over 200 cats, I think. And we're going to be traveling to loads of different locations, going to some islands, collaborating with other organizations, and as well, so many education programs. We have a lot of setups with like different schools, again, our local area in Athens and on the islands as well. So we're really trying to have a big reach, as big as we can, sterilize all the cats and educate all the kids.
That's amazing. And that happens in May, then, you said?
May the 10th, yeah, for 10 days.
Wow, that's so exciting. I'll have to keep my eyes out for that.
And, definitely, yeah, there'll be loads about it on social media and stuff like that. So you should definitely, yeah, follow us on social media. I'm sure you probably already follow Sterling himself. But yeah, so we're super excited for that. We hope it's going to have a really big impact.
Yeah, and that leads me into like, where can we all follow you at and see kind of what you guys are doing and follow the journey?
So yeah, social media, our Facebook is literally just Let's Be Smart. And then Instagram is Let's Be Smart with an underscore. And then we also have TikTok, which is just Let's Be Smart.
I like it. Keeping it simple. Yeah, that's perfect. That's well, that's exciting. And I follow you on some of those platforms, but everyone listening, check down below, check them out. And I want to thank you both so much for coming on and sharing, you know, about some of the shy cats, some of the not so shy cats that are on camera over there with you guys. And thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us. It's been a pleasure.